This audio is produced and distributed by the Christian Biblical Church of God, Post Office Box 1442, Hollister, California, 95024-1442. For the Canadian office and offices overseas, listen at the end of the message, please. To visit our websites, they are cbcg.org and biblicaltruthministries.org. Satan is going to have his counterfeit millennium. And he is going to bring it upon this earth in such a way that it's going to look like the greatest thing that has ever happened in the history of the world. And it's going to be brought about because he, all through this century, has been gradually building up, so that now he can establish his occult society. And this occult society means that they're training the little ones from first grade on up in all the ways of Satan. Now, many of you have sent me things, what goes on in your schools and so forth. But remember, what was the best-selling book this summer? Harry Potter. Yes, and isn't it wonderful? Oh, we're teaching our children to read. Oh, that's so good because they don't know how to read. Now, what do you think their reaction would have been if they all had a Bible instead of Harry Potter? Oh, narrow-minded religious bigots. No, you can't teach them God's way, but sure teach them all about witchcraft. So much so that they're having children in like the fourth and fifth grades form witches' covens and putting hexes on their parents. And I was reading some things concerning the Wiccans. Now, the Wiccans are the new pagans. And they're just witches, male and female. And I think when you understand it, how we have been so programmed and taught and educated in this society into the ways of Satan the devil, that when he brings the beast on the scene, as we'll see a little later, it is going to be awesome indeed. Now, as I mentioned yesterday, the book of Revelation is a global book. Now, let's come back to the book of Revelation. Let's start out right there in chapter 1. We'll do a little survey here. Chapter 1. Revelation 1. And I know some of these statements down through the years, and I'm sure that many who have had Bibles have wondered, how are these things going to be? Because they never heard of anything that would be like a global one-world government. And now we can begin to understand. Now, let's pick it up here in, let's come here to verse 3. Blessed is the one who reads, and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep the things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. So John was told to write. You see, and that's something else God does too. When he has a covenant, he has it written down. And there's a record of it, so that there is no disputing over what is said. Now, verse 4. John to the seven churches which are in Asia. Now, if you have the tapes of seven church harvests, we'll go back over those. God's church has not been perfect down through history. Part of the reason is because of our own weakness of human nature. Another part of the reason is because Satan has had his war against the church through various means. And so if we remain true to God, then the grace of God will help us, will give us strength. And when we find that we sin, will grant us repentance so that we can recover to receive eternal life. Grace to you and peace from him who is, who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness. Now it's very interesting that the Greek word witness is martyros, from which we get the English word martyr. The firstborn from the dead, as it should read, and the rulers of the kings of the earth. Now, God controls the rulers on the earth today, and that also applies to us who shall be the rulers in the kingdom of God tomorrow. Because in the first case, God says that he raises up whomever he wants to put on whatever head of government that there is. And he taught a lesson to Nebuchadnezzar when he thought he was the greatest. He said that he set up the basest of men. And it's interesting that Nebuchadnezzar repented. I don't think that was repentance unto eternal life. But at least it was repentance in acknowledging that, yes, God does this. So I suppose when you look around to all the rulers of the world, you find that that is true. So however the election turns out this year, you know, that's still going to be true. And it's especially going to be true when the beast comes on the scene. Now notice, he starts out finishing verse 5 here, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. And brethren, never forget that. Never ever think that you have sinned a sin that God cannot forgive. If you are concerned and worried about that you've sinned so bad that maybe God can't forgive you, please understand that is God nudging you to repentance. Because if you sinned a sin beyond repentance, you wouldn't care whatsoever. You would have no pricking of conscience at all. Rather, you would enjoy your rebellion. Now notice, verse 6, and has made us kings and priests to God and his Father. To him be the glory and sovereignty into the ages of eternity. Amen. Now I'm reading my preliminary translation of Revelation here. Verse 7. Behold, he's coming with the clouds, and every eye shall see him. Every person who is alive on earth shall see him, even those that pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth shall wail because of him, even so, amen. Now, how is this going to be? Every eye shall see him. Those who are alive will see him. At the end of the millennium, when they're resurrected, they will see him. And that includes those who pierced him, because they have long since died. But in a sense, since our sins have crucified Christ, that means everyone who has sinned. Now let's go on. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, says the Lord, who is, who was, and who is coming, the Almighty. Now that tells us the very power of Christ. What God has started, he's going to finish. So these words are written to us that we may know. And I think we live in an age, brethren, where we may know these things more than anything else. But what I want you to understand in this is this. That this is a global thing which is happening at the end. Let's come here to chapter 3 and verse 10. And let's see again. Let's see again. Chapter 3 and verse 10. Some places in the Old Testament, it talks about the whole world and does mean so directly. But here, in the book of Revelation, the whole book is about the whole world. Now notice Revelation 3 and verse 10. Because you have kept the word of my patience, I will also keep you from the time of temptation, which is the time just before the tribulation, which is about to come upon the whole world to test them that dwell upon the earth. So there's a whole global picture. Chapter 5. Chapter 5 and verse 6. It's talking about the time when Christ is going to open the seals. Now, verse 6, after John was weeping because there was no one to open them. Verse 6, I saw and behold, before the throne and the four living creatures and between the elders was standing a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes. Now, what do the seven horns represent? And it's right in the head, correct? Yes. What is a horn in the Bible? The horn represents a king or a kingdom. Now, in this case, I believe, since I already rang my bell, that the seven horns are the seven churches of which Christ is the head. And then the seven spirits. Now notice the job of the seven spirits. Those of which have been sent into all the earth. So there's going to be a lot of activity at the end time. Now what are these spirits doing going in all the earth? Well, they're watching over all the saints and they're seeking out those who are seeking God. Come back and report to God so that God can send the Holy Spirit to be with those people to lead them. Just like Jesus said to the apostles on the Passover night, that the Holy Spirit, which has been with you, shall be within you. And so God is going to draw many, many people with this process. But again, sent into all the earth. Now let's come to chapter 6. And verse 10. Chapter 6 and verse 10. Now this is talking about the fifth seal. And in this vision, the souls were crying out, verse 10, that had been martyred before. And they were crying out with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, do you not judge and avenge our blood on those who are dwelling on the earth? So again, the whole earth. Over and over again, it is the earth. Chapter 7, verse 1. And after these things, I saw four angels standing upon the four corners of the earth. And I've often wondered, where are the four corners of the earth? I can figure out North Pole and South Pole. And I just suspect that the area which they call the Devil's Triangle and the Bermuda and whatever is over in the Pacific might be the other two corners. But I've many times looked at the globe, and we have a beautiful globe at home that is very attractive. that is all made out of natural stone, and the oceans are a deep, deep blue. And I've looked at that, and I thought, I wonder where the four corners of the world are, or the earth are. I don't know. But here it is, the whole earth. And to show you the mercy and grace of God right before the most horrendous things begin to happen, God does to Israel, calling 144,000 and a great innumerable multitude, to show his mercy and his love, and calls them. Now let's come to, let's look at a few more here in the book of Revelation. Let's come to chapter 12 and verse 9. Chapter 12 and verse 9. We've made references to this many times during the feast. But let's look at it again and let's understand how thorough this is going to be. Verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, the ancient serpent, who is called the devil and Satan, who is deceiving the whole world. And that's a present tense participle, ongoing. He was cast out into the earth and his angels with him. Again, we have the whole world. And never at a time in all the history of mankind have we ever had it possible to deceive the whole world through all of the vehicles that Satan the devil uses. Not only the governments, not only the religion, but he controls everything. The entertainment, the media, most of the publishing in the world, and so forth. So it's the whole world. And let me just mention this, brethren. I think that there is still a special blessing upon the United States of America in spite of its sins. And I think the reason is this. As you view the whole world, the only place that the gospel is being preached in whatever form, be it, as Paul said, some in contention, some with wrong doctrine, but they still preach the name of Christ. And so, whether people think that they are doing the will of God or not, at least the name of Jesus Christ is being proclaimed. Whether in truth and sincerity or whether in deception or lack of sincerity. But God will make the dividing line. And really, in the United States is the only place that we have enough freedom of speech to continue to do that. Some other places in the world, you can't do that. And so I think there's a special blessing that is given. And so the whole world here. Now again, let's come to Revelation 16, we'll come back to Revelation 13 in just a bit, because that also covers the whole world. Let's go to Revelation 16. And let's pick it up here in verse 9. Revelation 16, there are several places here. Okay, let's come down here to verse 12. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and its waters were dried up, so that the way of the kings from the rising of the sun or the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. So on that day, the true identity of the Trinity will be known. Okay? For these are spirits of demons working miracles, which go forth to the kings of the earth and the whole world. Everything in the book of Revelation has to do with the whole world. So it's profound that that matches what is happening in the world, that the world is being globalized. And all of these things will be possible because of what has been done here. Now let's look at chapter 19 for just a minute. Chapter 19 for the final battle. And let's pick it up here in verse 19. Verse 19. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered to make war with him that sits on the horse and with his army. So this is a worldwide confrontation that is going to take place. And it's going to come in by stealth. And it's going to come in because of the deceivings of Satan the devil, and it's going to look so good that people are going to swallow it hook, line, and sinker. Now let's come back to Revelation 17 and verse 8, and let's see if we can understand some more of these prophecies of the things that are going to take place at the end time, and then we will look in and study Revelation 13. Verse 8. Now notice the counterfeit. Notice the counterfeit. Christ was the one who was and is coming. Now this beast being the Antichrist, notice what it says. And the beast which you saw was and is not and is about to come up out of the abyss, even to go into perdition. And of course that's where the beast is going to be cast, into the lake of fire. And those who are dwelling on the earth, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. Now that's us, brethren. God is going to watch over us. God is going to give us knowledge. God is going to strengthen us. That's why if we love God and have perfect love, it does cast out fear, even in spite of all the fearful events that are taking place. They shall be astonished when they see the beast that was and is not and yet is. Now, as we covered yesterday, and we showed clearly by actual fact that the United Nations is a world government organization which has no territory of its own, which has no people of its own, which has no economy of its own. Therefore, it is a beast, but is not, and yet does exist. Now, here it talks about the woman that rides them. Now, I might mention, you might get the new book by Gary Kaah, K-A-H, where it is the coming New World Religion. And in there, he also covers about education. And I just want to tell you something that perhaps maybe you do know or don't know. But all this to do about education, please understand that the standards set down by the United Nations through UNESCO, which is their organization for children, is the standard that is being put into every country. And that is the standard that the National Association of Teachers and whatever other teachers' union is what they're going to teach. Now, there are many people I know in the Church of God that have had tremendous success with homeschooling. And now you have so many things that you can get online that it makes it really easier for the parents to do so, because many may feel as though they're not qualified to do that. Now, I'm not saying take your kids out of public school and homeschool them, but I'm saying you might check out what they're teaching at the public school where your children attend. But there was an article recently which said that the homeschoolers graduating from high school and college are the top ones demanded in the workplace because they can think and they understand and they have better geography than I do. Okay, now here's the woman. And in this book, Gary Kaw points out how that within the United Nations itself, they have many Catholics working in key positions to bring the Vatican's agenda to be accepted by the United Nations and hence the whole world. So that becomes very profound to understand. That's how the woman is riding the beast. And recently, I don't know if the Senate voted on it, but I know that the House of Representatives voted on it. And the vote was this. They had a resolution. Now, a resolution carries no weight by law, but it's a recommendation to the president for whatever they recommend. And the resolution was this. Voted 400 and something to zip. Not one voted against it. To recommend and make sure that the Vatican, which is a nation state, be given a full seat in the General Assembly as a nation. So what's happening? Verse 9, here's a mind that has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains upon which the woman sits. That could be none other than Rome. No other woman or church has this power. And she just exercised it, as we saw in the letter that I wrote recently. There are seven kings, five are fallen, one is, and the other is yet to come. And when he shall have come, he is destined to remain a little while. Now, when Herbert Armstrong understood this, he understood, I think it correctly, in part of it. He said that Hitler was number seven, which may very well be true, because the last one is going to be number eight, notice. And the beast which was and is not, he is also the eighth, and is from out of the seven or seventh, and he goes into perdition. Now then, that begins to make a little more sense. But I tell you what, if you were living in the time when World War II was being in its full blast, you would have thought the same thing too. And you would have said the end time is upon us. When you compare what was going on then as compared to all the rest of the history of the world leading up to that. And now we understand that it's going to be even greater and bigger than what Herbert Armstrong was able to understand at that time. And we need to also understand, brethren, that perhaps at the end time we are the only ones, hopefully, if we can understand it, to understand what no one else in the churches of God have ever understood. Not because we're something or because we're great or because we have intellect, but because we are living in the time when these things are unfolding. And we can see it before our very eyes. Verse 12, and the ten horns you saw are ten kings which have not yet received a kingdom but receive authority as kings 1 hour with the beast. Now, I'm going to have a little more information in the future concerning the 10 regions that the United Nations has the world divided into, of which one region is America and Canada and Mexico. United States, Canada, and Mexico. Another region is Europe. Another region is the Soviet Union. Another region is the Mideast. Another region is North Africa, South Africa, below the Sahara. Another region then is South America. Another region then is Asia in the area of India, and then Southeast Asia, including New Zealand, Japan, and Australia. Now, if that doesn't add up to 10, well, then we'll see how it's divided down. Now, in each one of these areas, also the World Bank has a major man sitting. So these are kings that have not received authority as kings until the very last. And I think we find that when they come and fight against Christ in the seven last plagues. But nevertheless, they are still there and they bear authority. If you don't think bankers bear authority in effect everything, all governments, just watch Alan Greenspan. There was recently a rumor that he was on a plane in Canada and the plane crashed and the stock market went down horribly. Then he found out that was a false report, you know. And the stock market just flitters with every little jitter. You know, anyway, don't let me, I won't get carried away with that, but they do. Okay. These have one mind. They have one goal. They have one purpose. They have one thing that they are going to do, which is bring in world government, bring in world prosperity, and to be the counterfeit for the kingdom of God. And shall give their power and authority to the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, but the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And those who are with him are called and chosen and faithful. That's all the brethren down through all time. All time. Now that's really going to be something. You remember how great it is? We have living experience today. When all of a sudden, now this has happened many times over within the fellowship groups, especially at the feast. You come to the feast and you meet someone that you knew 30 years ago. And you say, well, I never knew you were here. Now think what it's going to be like with all the saints, all resurrected to meet Christ in the air on the sea of glass. Now I don't know how we're going to recognize each other, because I'm sure that we're not going to look exactly the same we are now. I'm sure that God will take all of you thin people and put a little more spiritual body on you. And all of us, well, the Germans have a good way of explaining it, okay? Those who are stout are called dick, which means thick. The next one is dicker, that means thicker. And then there are the rest of us, om dicksten. That means huge. And I think that God is going to just take all that away, because the flesh is going to corrupt, right? Yes. So how we're going to recognize each other, that's going to be quite a thing. And I've often wondered, what is it going to be like to meet Paul and all the apostles? What is it going to be like to see Christ face to face? And what is it going to be like for those who compose the bride when God the Father comes down and performs the ceremony? And all the rest of us, if we're guests, listen, there's nothing being deprived of being a guest. You're in the first resurrection, and you're going to rule as kings and priests. And kings and priests may not necessarily be the wife or the bride of Christ. But can you imagine what that ceremony is going to be like? And can you imagine the banquet that we are going to have before we come down to the earth? Can you imagine what it's going to be like to be sitting at tables composed of spirit? And I don't know what kind of wine that Christ is going to have the angels make for us. I don't know what kind of food we're going to eat, but I know it's going to be good. And what a time that's going to be. And then Christ will say, okay, it's time to go. Now you get on your horses, and the angels will bring in all the horses, and they'll tell us how to ride them. And Christ will say, follow me, because he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and in righteousness does he judge and make war. And we'll fight. We'll fight. For all of those of you who like a good fight and like to win, you're going to win. There's going to be something. Okay? Now, let's come back here to verse 15, and then we'll get to Revelation 13 in just a minute. Then he said to me, the waters which you saw where the whore sits are peoples and multitudes and nations and languages. Now, there's only one organization that fits, and that's the Roman Catholic Church. The only other organization that comes close to it is the beast. And we will see in Revelation 13 that they both share the same authority, that is, authority over all the earth. Verse 16, and the ten horns which you saw upon the beast shall hate the whore. They'll find out at the last minute that they have been duped. And shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. Now, God's going to inspire that to get rid of all these temples and idols and all the things that they have created. For God has put it in their hearts to do His will. And when you read anything about those doing the works of the United Nations and so forth, they all feel it's the will of God. But remember, it was also the will of God to turn Job over to Satan. But it's still the will of God. And to act with one accord and give their kingdom to the beast until the sayings of God should be fulfilled. And the woman you saw is the great city that has royal power over the kings of the earth. Heads of state bow the knee to the Pope and kiss his ring. So I think that's clearly identified today, and it's interesting. Let's go back to Revelation 13 now. And it's interesting that the reformers, the Reformation, understood the identity that the Roman Catholic Church was the woman of Revelation 17. But unfortunately, they didn't come far enough out of the system. They didn't do it. And one of these days I'm going to do a sermon on the unfinished Reformation, which I hope will be helpful for new people. Now, when this final beast is formed, as you will see by reading some of the things concerning how the United Nations is developing, they are going to make it appear that the people of the world are behind this. They are right now encouraging the people of the world to press the United Nations for a people's assembly, which will be in addition to the General Assembly. And they will make it look very democratic, because they will be able to vote for their representatives for their country to go in the people's assembly. Now, that's why it describes it here in Revelation 13 and verse 1. And I, John, stood on the sand of the sea. Now, sand represents many peoples, correct? The sea represents many people. And I saw a beast, which is a government. rising up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon its head the name of blasphemy, the names rather. Now notice this is different than any of the other four beasts back there in Daniel the seventh chapter, but it's all part of it. And this is telling us that this is the beast that was and is not and yet is, because it's a conglomeration of the different forms of government that these beast in Daniel 7 had. Now notice, the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and its feet the feet of a bear, and its mouth the mouth of a lion, and that is speaking with great authority. And the dragon, which chapter 12 says is Satan the devil, gave him power and his throne and his great authority. Now you see, remember, the kings of the earth give their authority to the beast. He doesn't have authority on his own. Just like Satan does not have authority on his own, we must give it to him, or he must have it granted from God. So this is what they are doing. And this is what they are doing with the treaties. Now, the one they're trying to get across right now and hasn't been gotten across, in addition to the International Court of Justice, is the one concerning children. And that is supposedly for their education. And when that happens, that is going to be a mandate of United Nations standards for teaching all children. Now, they're doing this under the guise, we'll protect them from child labor and so forth, and, you know, all of it's done on the guise of doing good. Now, verse 13, and I saw one of its heads, as it were, slain to death. Now, how's that going to happen? Well, I think if you go back and review the Revelation 1 and 2 and the chart that I made on it, and please understand, all charts are just an estimation of things and are not, thus saith the Lord. It just gives us a bird's eye view of how things may come together. Okay. Why is he slain to death? Well, I believe that the beast is going to go, and we'll see a little bit later, he is going to cut off the sacrifices. That's what Daniel, the 12th chapter, tells us. And where are the sacrifices going to be? The sacrifices are going to be at a temple called the Temple of God in Jerusalem, which they will institute their sacrifices. And he's going to cut them off. Now, in counting back from the last Feast of Trumpets, where the beast is cast into the lake of fire backwards, 1290 days on the calculated Hebrew calendar comes to the 10th of Nisan. Now that is the day in which the Jews select their lamb, and they'll probably want to offer them at the temple. Now if he stops the sacrifices at that day, just consider what the Jews are going to do to him. They're going to send out a suicide squad and they're going to wound him. And I believe that's how he gets the deadly wound that is healed. Now, just to make that official, I'm going to ring my bell. May not turn out that way, but that seems to be the most likely thing that will happen. And one of his deadly wounds, one of his heads, was slain to death, but its wound was of death was healed. Now, how is it healed? Well, just suppose this. Whoever the last pope comes in and lays hands on him and prays that he is restored. And he comes back to life. And they proclaim to the world, see, this is really the Christ. Because he was dead and he now lives. That's going to be mighty convincing to the world, isn't it? Now notice what happens after that. And the whole earth, again we're dealing with the whole earth, in complete amazement followed after the beast. And they worship the dragon because they've all now been programmed through witchcraft and the occult and all of the society following that, who gave authority to the beast, and they worship the beast saying, who is like unto the beast and who has the power to make war against him? And we're going to see a little bit later that the UN wants to have an army. And it's already been proposed that all nuclear weapons be put under the control and jurisdiction of the United Nations. If that happens, who's able to make war? Then a mouth was given him speaking great things and blasphemies. And authority was given to him to continue 42 months, that is after the deadly wound was healed. Now that's at the time that he goes into the temple. And this is going to be the greatest effrontery to God. And it's going to be a warning to the whole world. He's going to go into the temple of God and say, I am God. I was resurrected. God has given me all this authority and power, and now everyone who is against me, and the Pope is going to be standing right there and say, yes, he is God. Yes, he is the Messiah. Yes, he is the one. Yes, God answered my prayer and he was resurrected. So therefore now, we are going to eliminate all opposition because we want peace on this earth. And if you're going to come after me, who is God in the flesh, then I'm coming after you. So that's what happens. He opens his mouth and blasphemy, verse 6, to against God, blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those that dwell in heaven. Then it was given to him to make war against the saints. And so it's going to happen, brother. Don't be fearful or worry about it. God will give you the strength at that time. And authority was given to him over every tribe and language and nation. Never has been such a thing like that in the history of the world. But with the apparatus and the power of the United Nations, the way they want to build it, that's what it's going to develop into. Now, all those that dwell on the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of the life, book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Now let's look at some things concerning the United Nations and what they want to do, and then we'll come back and finish off Revelation 13. Now you have the declaration that I read to you yesterday concerning what all the heads of state agreed to at this meeting. Now here's what was put out, and this was sent by Tom Parker, and I appreciate all the things you sent, Tom. And I do use them. And many of these things, if you have a computer and you're on the internet, you can get these things. Now, this is entitled United Nations Poised to Impose One World Government, Charter 99, and the Charter for Global Democracy. And have we not covered all of these things beginning in 1993 at the Feast of Tabernacles right over in Gulf Shores, Alabama? The Parliament of the World's Religions, the document signed by John F. Kennedy to reduce our forces, all of our armies down to just a small amount. All nations are doing that. That's currently what our president is doing today, reducing it down, 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 down. The reason is then what's left they will devote to the United Nations. Now this event in September is a special millennial assembly as a global summit on the future of the world. This event will crown a decade of preparation to launch the new millennium on a new system of global governance. Now, that's just a slick little word for global government. The blueprint was published by the Commission on Global Governance in 1995, and now a charter to achieve global governance has been developed for presentation at the Millennium Assembly in September. It will be published publicly on UN Day, October 24th. Now, how many saw the UN 50th anniversary video that we took when it occurred in October 24th? If you don't have that, if you haven't seen it, write in for it, because that will show you what the global religion is going to be like and will show you what they're up to, okay? It is called the Charter for Global Democracy, a beast rising out of the sea. It has already been signed by influential leaders in 56 countries and has the support of civil society, non-government organizations around the world. Now, those non-government organizations are very important. There are literally tens of thousands of those. And in a meeting with Pope John Paul II, especially for the non-governmental organizations, he told them that they are in a position different from any government because they are not saddled down with national government restraints to implement the things concerning the United Nations. So keep your eye on what are called the non-governmental organizations or NGOs. This document in reality is a charter for the abolition of individual freedom. Now, I'm just going to read you the principles here, okay? Principle 1, and all of these have many sub-things written in it, calls for the consolidation of all international agencies under the direct authority of the United Nations. Principle number 2, calls for the regulation of all transnational corporations, financial institutions, requiring an international code of conduct concerning environment and labor standards. I'll read you one of those in just a minute. Principle number 3, demands an independent source of revenue for the United Nations, such as the Tobin tax. Now, who is Tobin? Tobin is the Deputy Secretary of State for the United States, who has proclaimed that national sovereignty is obsolete and we might as well prepare for a global government. And he has proposed that there be taxes on oil production, airline travel, and financial transactions, whether they be wire transactions or bank transactions, all around the world, and all of that money go directly to the United Nations. And as we said years before, watch out when the United Nations gets an independent source of income. Then they will have more freedom and power than ever before, because right now they have to wait for all the nations to pay their dues so they can function financially. And this then, he lists the taxes here. Taxes on aircraft and shipping fuels, licensing the use of global commons, which then is where all of the satellites go. And know that they will put in special conditions in order to satisfy the use of that since they tax it. The global commons are defined as the outer space, the atmosphere, the non-territorial seas, and the related environment that supports human life. Principle number 4 eliminates the veto power, which is currently held now by those on the Security Council, and permanent member status on the Security Council. Principle number 5 authorizes a standing UN army, which they are already developing, trained by the British. They have already set aside 10,000 troops in Britain for that. Other United Nations countries are setting aside troops on standby whose sole duty will be to follow the dictates of the United Nations and their needs in settling disputes in the world. They have asked the United States to do the same thing. Some of our, remember the case of the soldier who was court-martialed for not swearing allegiance to the United Nations? Well, they finally had to give him a general discharge. Too much of an uproar. But those of us who were in the United States Armed Forces before, we had to swear allegiance to the country and to be against all the foes of the United States and those who are against the Constitution of the United States and to uphold it. That will change. Principle number 6 requires UN registration of all arms. Now that's why every state, especially those controlled by Democrats, because they're in the forefront of this. Now if you're a Democrat, don't get offended. Just realize those who are Democrats as well as Republicans are going to toe the line sooner or later. In California, they have so many gun laws that they have virtually outlawed every kind of weapon. And you are required to register it so when the time comes to confiscate it, they know where you live. Now, they did it in Australia. They're currently doing it in Canada. But also, a phenomenon occurred in Australia before the confiscation of all weapons. They sold huge amounts, an inordinate amount of 4-inch sewer pipe, plastic pipe. So buried beneath the ground around many homes are the arms that they did not turn in. See. But, please understand this. In the carnal world, those who are set up themselves as militia to defend themselves against this sort of thing are the big thorn in the flesh that they've got to get rid of. Now, exactly how they're going to do it, I don't know, but it's going to be a difficult thing here in America. And also, the reduction of all national armies is part of a multilateral global security system under the authority of the United Nations. Principle 7 requires individual and national compliance to all UN human rights treaties and declarations. Principle number 8 activates the International Criminal Court, making the International Court of Justice compulsory for all nations and give individuals the right to petition the court to remedy social injustice. Principle number 9 calls for a new institution to establish economic and environmental security, ensuring sustainable development, which then the bottom line is they want to reduce the population. Principle number 10 calls for the establishment of an international environmental court. So not only do you have to have, you want to put in a house and you got a rare species of flea, that's his habitat where you're going to build your house. Now, not only do you have to fight the local building department or the county or state building department, but now you're going to have to fight the UN building department. Principle number 11 calls for a declaration that climate change is an essential global security interest that requires the creation of a high-level action team, of which Vice President Gore wrote his book and said that we ought to eliminate all gasoline engines. I don't think that's set too well in Michigan. And to allocate carbon emissions based upon an equal per capita basis, that is, around the world. Which means then, we're going to exchange our cars for bicycles, and we'll ship our cars over to China, and they'll send us their bicycles. Principle 12 calls for the cancellation of all debt owed by the poorest countries, reduction of global poverty, and the equitable sharing of global resources, which is no more than communism, as allocated by the UN. Now, there are many more other things in here. Okay? Now, let me read this. I've got it right here. Here's how they're going to do it. If you are a global corporation, which most of them are becoming, correct? The United Nations puts, and the nations themselves, individual nations, puts upon them the standards of the United Nations for treatment of human rights. Now, this was given to me just yesterday by Dave Dixon, who works for United Parcel Service. And this was sent that all employees must sign and return. You have to read it and sign it, so later if something comes up, they've got your signature. Okay. Here it is, for all UPS employees, avoiding workplace harassment. Now that sounds like a good thing to do, right? Yes. Week ending September 30th, so this is, 3 weeks old. Introduction. UPS, bracket, is a global corporation, is committed to providing and maintaining a work environment that respects the rights of all employees and is free of harassment, hostility, and offensive behavior. For many years, UPS has enforced its policy regarding professional conduct in the workplace. To further ensure that employees understand that inappropriate and offensive behavior will not be tolerated in the workplace, UPS has adopted a new policy on professional conduct and anti-harassment, which then takes away the First Amendment of freedom of speech. Key points. The new policy reinforces the conduct that unreasonably interferes with work performance and or creates an intimidating, hostile, or offensive working environment, and it will not be tolerated by UPS. Harassment of any person or group of persons. Now, this means you talking to anybody at your workplace concerning the truth of God. Or a group of persons on the basis of sex, race, national origin, color, gender. I thought sex was gender. Age, disability, religion, or sexual orientation are forms of inappropriate harassment. And Dave told me that he has several homosexuals who are supervisors, one of which is his. These inappropriate behaviors may subject the company and or the individual harasser to legal liability. In addition, violation of the company's policy may subject the individual harasser to disciplinary action, which means termination. UPS will not tolerate any behavior that has the potential to damage our reputation as a company, and most importantly, our reputation with employees. Examples of sexual harassment or sexual advancement, requests for sexual favors, and verbal or physical conduct of a sexual nature. Sexual harassment is not the only form of harassment. There are other forms of harassment and inappropriate behavior that are unacceptable in the workplace, such as making racial slurs, initiating inappropriate physical conduct, using offensive or crude language, teasing a person about a disability, making slurs or offensive remarks about a coworker's religious practice or belief, making obscene gestures, drawings that are derogatory or of an offensive nature. And I could go on and on and on here with it. It is a two-page memo. All schools have the same thing because that's the UN standard. All government employees have the same thing because that's government and UN standard. So therefore, on the surface, everybody's belief is reduced to the lowest level possible. And those things which are offensive and should not be offensive are proper to not do, which if all the employees were truly Christians, none of these things would have to be written down. But what this does, this brings you down to the point that everybody is okay, and the general philosophy is going to be that you will be saved in your sins because there's no sin, whereas Christ says you must be saved from your sins. And that's through repentance and acceptance of Jesus Christ. So wherever you work and whatever you do, you're going to see this more and more and more and more. And sooner or later, it will become a hate crime. Now then, should we quit preaching the gospel and the truth? No. Should we still label an abomination that God calls an abomination? Yes. Because in the covenant that we make with God, as you will see, we're committed to fight the enemies of God, spiritually speaking, not to take up arms and go against them. But we are to be a light in the world, aren't we? We're to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And if through memos like this and behavior that comes down, they can succeed in putting out your light and taking away your salt, then you need to consider beyond that. Now, most of these things have a sense of propriety about them that are right. But what happens, it's going to get to the same position that it was with Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah. And there's also a good example that out of these things, only God can rescue you. I am sure they had their tolerance level in Sodom and Gomorrah. I am sure that this was part of their general overall civil law. Because at the end time, we are told in Revelation 11 and verse 8 that the end time is like Sodom and Egypt. And that refers directly to Jerusalem, where Christ was crucified, because all of those things have emanated from there, as well as the source of Babylon and so forth. Now then, here's a report about the Kofi Annan's military plan, so I won't read that. But here's one. The Big Five, which is Britain, China, France, and Russia, and the United States, and they are the five veto-wielding members of the Security Council. They issued on Thursday, which was September 7th, a joint declaration in the support of the panel's reform and vowed to make the United Nations more effective and more efficient. And they all endorsed it. Okay? And so those are the things that have been going on. Now, in this book, The New American, let me just read a couple of things here. They have it, as I showed yesterday, building of a global gulag, the UN's design for millennial tyranny. See, because they set the standard. They determined the definition of the word freedom, choice. They determined the definition of justice, of law. And their definition of it is not what we have in our minds. Now, I'm going to have Ron Carey, who is our webmaster, and he's familiar with the Constitution of the Soviet Union, compare this United Nations Declaration, which you have, with the Constitution of the Soviet Union. because on paper, it is really, as he said, there are many things in it which are very altruistic and really good-sounding things. But in a tyranny from the top down, they interpret every single word. And that's what we're going to see happen. As devastating as the tyranny of the total state has been in the past, it at least has not engulfed the entire planet. But that would change if the architects of the New World Order succeed in transforming the United Nations system they created into a world government with virtually unlimited authority. Kofi Annan opened the General Assembly January 14th and said, "Local communities have fire departments and town councils. Nations have their courts and legislatures. In today's interdependent world, the people of the world must have the rules and institutions they need to manage their lives." Which then, these are the rules and institutions which compass virtually every aspect of our lives, and he means world institutions. Then they have a whole section here, building a new world order, and how they're going to do it. The world needs new ways of governance. A report prepared for the United Nations Millennial Summit by former Canadian Ambassador to the United Nations, Gordon Smith, and Mosi Naim, editor of the Carnegie Endowment publication Foreign Policy. Now, what you need to understand, brethren, is that all of these foundations worldwide who are funded by the super rich then have a mission to change public opinion. Now, I personally like some of the things that Bill Bennett has said and done. But how many of you realize that he is a member of the Heritage Foundation and they pay his salary? And the Heritage Foundation is one of those foundations designed to mold public opinion into acceptance of government policies. Now, since he is a Roman Catholic, he brings those things such as the virtues and the, his latest book out, the Faith for Children type of thing. Well, all of that sounds good, but it's designed to point them to the Pope. Now, also in his keynote speech, he pointed out that since the birth of the United Nations in 1945, the world has generated more than 500 treaties, covenants, conventions, and other instruments of international law. Now, if you're online, why don't you just see if you can find information on the International Court? And if you're online, also go ahead and check out the Noahide laws. You can find that on Yahoo through Jews for Judaism. Now, he described this international law as a comprehensive framework for a better world. This article says in another paragraph, the agenda of the NGO superpower is breathtakingly audacious on behalf of civil society organizations from more than 100 countries. That is, they are calling a common vision of the globalization for and by the people. In our vision, we are all one family in all of our diversity, living in one common homeland, which is the earth. This global homeland is ruled by the strengthened and democratized United Nations for the fair distribution of the world's resources, etc. This is coming. You don't hear this much on the news, do you? No, but it's there. It's available. Then there's a whole article on the New World Army. See, and one of the things that they always ask the American troops is, would you fire upon the citizens of America if you were commanded to by your commander? So what are they doing? They are preparing them for UN Army status. In 1992, Mikhail Gorbachev unabashedly called for global government in order to prevent conflicts from developing into worldwide conflagration. He said, it is time to consider putting certain national armed forces at the disposal of the Security Council, making them subordinate to the United Nations Military Command. Then there's a section on the International Criminal Court. Then there is a section on civil disarmament. See, because before a dictatorship can really take hold and begin implementing policies, they get rid of weapons. Here's the section on world economic order. Now, for those of you who are interested, let me give the address here, if someone didn't take it out. Okay. Okay, I'll give you a phone number. New American is published biweekly by American Opinion Publishing Company, Incorporated. Here's their phone number. 920-749-3784. 39 dollars a year. Might be worth getting. Now, the headline under World Economic Order, before global government under the UN can be established, a stronger supranational economic order through which the world's wealth can be controlled must be created. Does that ring bells? We'll get to that in just a minute. Here's another one. I like this one. The global tax man cometh. Want to be audited by the IRS? Try the UN. You have not done your fair share. You have not given the taxes you ought to. You did not declare this asset. You did not declare that income. The United Nations big green machine. And that's why our President Wilhelm Clatone, in his stay at the White House, here's a map of it, has devoted so much of the U.S. land to the biosphere control, which is under the control of the United Nations, which I'm told that they've even seen some of those who run the national forest and parks today. They have UN emblems on them. You know, you can't go hike in Yellowstone National Park anymore because that's a biosphere world control thing. And by the way, all of those secure the U.S. $5 trillion plus debt. So in case of default, the world bankers own it. Then here's one. It takes a global village. Wolf in humanitarian clothing, creating the new world religion. Got it all, doesn't it? Now, I don't think in any of this that they quote any scriptures. So this is a warning to those who don't believe in the Bible. Now, here's an article, the new fascism in fashion at the UN. Quite an edition. This is the July 3rd, 2000 edition. Let me give you the phone number again. I'm sure if you want it, you can write for it. Okay, here's the phone number again. 920-749-3784. Oh, website. Here we go, website. Let me give this. www.thenewamerican, all lowercase letters, the new American, all together, no spaces, .com. I would suggest you get this. Now let's focus in on the last part of Revelation 13, and let's understand how it's going to happen here. Now someone did something supposedly as an alleged spoof. This man put on there that he was having people sign up for his new electronic implant that would be in the palm of the hand, which would coordinate with a mouse on your computer. And he really got a response in his revealing that it was just a spoof. He wanted to see what kind of reaction that people would get. Some of them were 100% for it. All those who knew about the mark of the beast in the Bible and the, you know, the right hand and so forth, and it was supposedly a spoof takeoff on that. And he was actually able to manipulate through doing pictures on a computer, an X-rayed hand showing where the implant would be. But the CIA and the National Security Agency, NSA, they logged in on his site to find out what was going on. So in discussing that with several people later on, and I actually gave a sermon on it and didn't send it out because I found out it was a spoof. But in thinking about it, I wonder if that was not a test thing just to kind of get a response. Now we do know that they are working on a chip to implant in the hand or in the forehead, which is called Digital Angel. Appropriate name, isn't it? But sooner or later it's going to come. And sooner or later it's going to fulfill the desire of the economic thing with a new economic order. And also it will be endorsed by the Pope because he has been calling for the release of the debt to the poorest nations as well as others. Now let's begin here in verse 11. Revelation 13, verse 11. And I saw another beast rising up out of the earth, whereas the first one came up out of the sea. Now, why is this out of the earth? What is the worship of the Queen of Heaven and the goddess Gaia? It is earth worship. So this is telling us that this new religious system is going to be an earth-based, earth-worship system. Meaning it's going to have a female goddess, of which the Pope would love to really declare the Virgin Mary as a co-redemptrix with Christ. There's still too much resistance to it. And it had two horns like a lamb, and spoke as a dragon. And again, with my cowbell already rung, I've suggested that perhaps we consider it's the office of the Pope and maybe the office of the Dalai Lama, East and West brought together. Verse 5, he exercises all the authority of the first beast before him, meaning he has worldwide power and authority. And he causes the earth. Notice again the things, it's the whole earth. And those who dwell in it, so that they worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. by proclaiming him that he's God on earth. Now remember what I mentioned yesterday about Y2K, how that it has not been widely published and there are very few who know it, but there is now a new super secret organization which is computer-wise and electronically tied in to all nations of the world. Question, could that be the beginning of a system so that the mark of the beast could be used and enforced? Very possible. I don't know. But he's going to cause them to worship the first beast. And he's going to do it by means of miracles. And he performs great miracles so that he even causes fire to come down out of heaven to the earth in the sight of men. And it's going to be real fire. It's not going to be some fake thing worked by satellites, nor will it be a holistic illusion. Because there will be enough skeptics to make sure that it's real fire. Now, Satan is capable of doing this, isn't he? Did he not do it with Job and his sons? Yes. Now, what then is the Pope going to do, the religious leader, when he is able to call fire down from heaven? What is he going to proclaim? He is going to proclaim this, that this is from God, just like Elijah was able to call down fire from heaven. I mean, if you really think about it in the counterfeit, you can almost write the script, can't you? Now, will people be convinced of a miracle? Oh, yes. Because why? Seeing is believing. So they'll believe. And with that, then, he's going to deceive those that dwell on the earth by the reason of the miracles which was given him to perform in the sight of the beast, saying to those that dwell on the earth that they should make an image for the beast. Now, there's an image for the beast, which will be the mother, and there will be the image of the beast, which will be the man. I've said in the past it's just the mother, but I think we will have both. The overseas offices are Canada, Post Office Box 125, Brockville, Ontario, postal code K6V5V2. For Australia, Biblical Truth Ministries, GPO Box 1574, Sydney 2001. New Zealand, Post Office Box 242 Waihi, Waihi 2981. Republic of South Africa, Post Office Box 2624 Wilroe, Wilro Park, Postal Code 1731. United Kingdom, Post Office Box 8224, Witham, Postal Code CM81WZ, United Kingdom.